For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode 244. What's going on? Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm okay, but I had a really dumb moment earlier today. I was telling you about it. Any dog walker has probably gone through this before. Either you have your own dog or walked someone else's dog. I took my dog out this morning, and I did not sleep well last night. I don't know why, I just didn't. Anyways, I take him out after taking the kids to school, and we're like three quarters of the way down the walk, and he stops to take a number two. And standard business, obviously, that's expected. What wasn't expected is when I reached into the bag dispenser that is attached to his leash, and there were no bags.
Oh.
And no. I'm like, oh God, I didn't want to just leave it there. No. So I'm like scrambling to look around to make eye contact with someone who lives around, going like, I will not leave this poo on your yard. I will be back. And there's no one because it's like 8 in the morning. Anyway, so I walk back home, walk back alone, sans dog, mainly because my dog takes forever. He's super slow because he's kind of old, and he stops at every single tree, gate, post, tuft of grass, corner, what you name it, stops at all of them. Anyway, so I didn't take him, and I go to pick up the poo on my own. But now there's a person there in a car. So I'm showing up beside this poo, and I'm just like without dog, with a bag on my hand, going like, oh, yes, this is a perfectly good piece of poo that I'm picking up. Tie it, and then like walk around, like walk back home with it. This person must have thought I was the weirdest MF-er in the world.
Oh, man. I could just picture that happening. Like, could you imagine, like, play the role of the other person? Like, you're just sitting there and you just see someone walk up, no dog, grab a poo and walk away with it. I'd be like, what the hell did I just witness?
And not just kind of like, oh, hey, look at that thing, right? That person, me, like laser focused on, knew exactly where it was, right? Like, that's the extra weird part. You went out of your way to pick up that one poop. What's wrong, person? Without knowing that backstory. Just not great. Not my shining moment. But as I've said, it happens to everyone, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So that's phenomenal, buddy. I'm glad that you were able to power through and pick up the poop. That's good.
Strong start to the day. I comforted myself the entire way going like, I'm doing the right thing.
You did.
I'm doing the right thing here.
You definitely did. That's for sure.
Yes, my wife just messaged me on WhatsApp saying, oh crap, I forgot to put bags in the dog bag thing last night. Clearly, she just heard me say this story.
That's phenomenal. That just makes it even better. Oh my God. I love it.
Awesome. What's going on with your day, buddy?
Well, pretty good day. Was busy with work, but I was telling you before I got started that my company's been collabing with Mike Tannenbaum, who's the former general manager of the Jets. So I got to write an article with him, and I'm collabing with him for a video on Friday, which is pretty freaking cool. I'm pumped up about that.
That is pretty awesome, man. Like, you get to, like, hang out basically with someone. Not even hang out, work with someone, mm-hmm. like, in a professional capacity that you, I'm not going to say idolize, I don't know that, but at least someone that you kind of look up to because of the job that he did.
Yeah, precisely. It was definitely a pinch yourself kind of moment today, which is really cool. But that kind of does lead us into a little bit of a transition, which I think we could probably make that happen right now. But so if you're a patron, you probably know what's coming already. But if you're not, then this is new information for you. And I'm sorry to give that new information to you. But no easy way to say this. I will be leaving Eyes on Isles at the end of the month, both the podcast and the website. It's something that I've done for 6 years, which is crazy to say that it's been 6 years that we've done this. And I think 4 years of the show.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's August of 2017 that started up. I am beyond proud of what we were able to build with both the website and the show. It's just, unfortunately, the day job and other responsibilities is just taking over my life right now, and I don't have, there's just physically not enough hours in the day anymore. I was struggling the last few months to do it as is, and it's just, it's not that I don't want to, it's just I physically can't at this point anymore, Mitch. But I'm very sad to be leaving, and it's just, it's gonna be weird, buddy.
It's going to be very weird not having you around. Like you said, 6 years. And we started basically at the same time, if not the same day type of thing. So it's been a full ride, a full 6 years of working alongside you, not only on the site, but like conversing with you every day. Well, that will continue, but
yes,
every day and hitting the record button, that won't continue. And that's kind of sad. It makes me feel like I sent you the gif, but like when Joey hugs Chandler,
yes,
because he's leaving the apartment, that is exactly how I feel. There's the same level of sadness. It's kind of buried right now. And it's going to, when the calendar hits May, it's not going to be a fun time over at the Anderson household.
No, yes. And I definitely can say confidently that I've made a very close friend here in my last 6 years. So I've loved working with you. Going to miss you like crazy, but I'm not going anywhere. I'll still be talking with you every day.
Yeah, you'll still hear my didn't bring the dog poop bag stories.
I need it.
All day.
I got to fix that into my schedule. But yes, unfortunately, it'll be coming to a close. So any plans with the show? Should we let them know?
I have no idea. I want to continue doing it. I want to continue doing the podcast, and I will continue doing it. What the show will look like going forward, I'm not entirely sure. I really want to keep the same aesthetic, if I will. And that's not really, maybe not the right word, but the same type of podcast. Because there are, as we all know, there's a bunch of Islanders podcasts out there. And they're all doing a phenomenal job at what they do. I don't want to do their thing. I want to continue doing what, yes, we've done for the last 3 to 4 years, like we said. And so I would like to continue this conversational type of thing. But we'll see. Going forward, maybe I'll bring on some guests, maybe not, and we can do the conversation thing. I don't want to do an interview show because I'm not George Strombolopoulos or Barbara Streisand. I'm not a great interviewee. Or interviewer, I should say. I'm, yes, a good interviewee, not interviewer. So that's kind of it right now. I'm still not sure what we're going to do, but I want to keep the show kind of the same as what we had before.
There you go. So you got one more of this right now, and then the finale of the OG show next week. So with that, I guess you want to hop right in? Let's do it.
Let's get right into this.
Okay, so from one high note to another high note, Mitch, the Islanders were eliminated from the playoffs.
Just full-on posicore podcast right now.
Yeah. Look, this is something that I think everyone knew was coming for a long time now, but it did feel a little bit different once it became official. Like, am I crazy, yeah, for saying that?
No, of course not. Because there's always that little, like, well, there's a 1% chance. And then once that door closes, slam shut, you're going, all right, the hope killed me. Now I can die, right? I can... I don't want to say the words. I can now feel relief. There we go. That's a better way of saying it. I can feel the relief of it is over. I don't have to stress and hope that they can make it, right? That kind of like lingering, oh, maybe the playoffs,
yeah,
is no longer an option. And that kind of feels good, because that was, like you said, something that we've all been debating for a couple of months now.
Yeah, no, it's been a topic on this show for a very, very long time, but... I get that with the relief, but in the same way, like, I'm still sad about it. Like, it still hit me. Like, I was like, ah, it's really over. I should have known this for months and months and months, but the finale of it actually being done did feel different after the loss against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, especially because it was Toronto. True. Screw them. But it's also then when you look at the schedule, right? When we're looking at it in February, you're going, oh, they're done for the playoffs. But there's still like 40 games to play or something. It was basically that. Now there's, what, seven games after the Toronto loss, right? Like, it's basically over, not in so much as it's over for the season, but the season is almost over as well. So, like, that adds that the door is closing and you can see it closing on the season.
Yeah, no, for sure. And well, that kind of leads us into what I think we're going to be spending a lot of time on this podcast talking about is, what the hell's the point over the next six games? What are we watching for? I want to start with you. What is something that you are looking for here over the final six games of this season?
I want to see some growth out of some of these players. We've seen growth out of Kyle Palmieri, so we're kind of good there. Obviously, if he can sustain it the rest of the way, that'd be great. And so far, so good. Except for that overtime play against Florida.
True.
That was
true that.
Hashtag bad. But other players, specifically the young guys, like Oliver Wahlstrom, Kiefer Bellows, I want to see them do something with what they with the role they've got so they can have a place going forward, because we're going to need that. They're on cheap deals, although Kiefer Bellows is expiring, but it's not going to be a lot if they want to resign him. So I want to see that. What about you? What's the one thing you're looking for?
Yeah, there's a few things. Oliver Wahlstrom, is it worth talking about him? I know we spent a lot of time on him last week, but
I would say so, yeah.
Any signs of life from Oliver Wahlstrom would be really, really nice.
Yeah, right. The two games on the scratch pad in a row. But that's not good.
It isn't good. But at the same time, which is pretty much what we spent a lot of last week talking about, I can't really blame the coach for coming to that decision based on how he's played.
No, that's the thing, right? Like, he hasn't necessarily played well. On the flip side, you're going, well, he's not going to play well if you don't play him necessarily.
Also true.
So I get the odd scratch here and there. Like, Oliver, I don't want to see you on the ice today. We're going to try something different. And if that different doesn't necessarily work, all right, put him back in. Maybe he's learned something, right? But that hasn't really happened. And it's not like Kiefer Bellows is really lighting it up in his spot. He's got a couple of points, but they're both secondary assists that he picked up. And I don't even know when he touched the puck in the Florida game. He touched it. He got a secondary assist on that first goal, on the Bo goal. I don't know what he did to do it, but he got it. So like that counts, I suppose. But we know with Barry Trotz, it's not necessarily about the production. Because if that was the case, Oliver Wahlstrom would be hitting consistent 18 minutes a night after, what, he had three multi-point games, back-to-back multi-point games in December, was it not? But yes. We only saw his ice time go down after he did that.
Yeah, that was confusing times. But it was just... If he gets back into lineup, which I would imagine at some point over the next six games he does, I'll take anything here. Anything. I can't have his season end with 24. I'm looking at the numbers right now. 24 points and 13 goals would be extremely disappointing from Oliver Wahlstrom.
Yes. 100. And how many games, though, right? Like, if you're going like, oh, 10 games, and I know it's not, that would be fine, but it's definitely not. It's like,
it's 67 right now.
Youch. Yeah, right. That's not good. And a sophomore year. So 24 over 67 times 82. That's over a third point per game, like 0.35. That's 29 points rounded up.
That's not good. That's not good enough.
No, that is not good enough at all for someone like him. obviously this is paced out and it's not a per 60 either, which would matter for someone like him because he doesn't play a ton, specifically because of his defensive game, his game away from the puck or even with it when it's not in the offensive zone. It's just not there. So you're right to want to see that from over the next 2 weeks. Now, will he play? We'll see. Like, they're playing a bunch of playoff teams.
Maybe.
He didn't play against the last two playoff teams.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he doesn't play, but I don't know.
That would be... What happens if he doesn't play once over the next 6 games?
Yeah, that's also not good. That doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth going into next year.
No, right? Imagine that. The last 8 games of the season, Oliver Wahlstrom just does not play. Not because he's hurt, not because he's ill, just doesn't play. Yippee-lie.
Not good. But on the more, to go to a more positive one, I want to see more Ilya Sorokin. And I know more than likely we will be seeing Semyon Varlamov, which is fine. Like, I get it. You've had a ton of Sorokin time recently. Varlamov's been excellent against the Rangers over the last couple years. Good with that. But I mean, some of these numbers, man, 927 and a 2.32 goals against average with 7 shutouts for Ilya Sorokin in 49 games. If he has, what do you think, maybe 4 more starts and he finishes the year above 925 and maybe closer to 930 and that goals against still sitting at like 2.3, that's a phenomenal sign for year two.
Yeah, one hell of a sign. Look, I wrote a piece the other day saying, like, I think he should get some Hart nominations. He shouldn't win it.
No.
He won't win it, and I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't think he should either. But he's putting up a Hart-level type of... I'm not going to say Hart-level season. He should get some consideration for the Hart. That's just it. Not, like, top maybe 6. Maybe top 5. What I'm trying to go here is that the Hart is not the MVP of the league, right? Like, that's the big thing with this award, that everyone sees it as the MVP. It is not. It's a really dumb award when you think about it, because it's the most valuable player to his team. What the hell does that mean in terms of a league sense, right? Like, this isn't just an individual team award. It's a league award. How do you justify that?
I don't know. It's... Great point. I have no idea how you can justify it. I think it's going to be Austin Matthews, I think, but it's hard. It's a hard, and same thing like with the Norris now at this point too. That's another award that has kind of lost its original meaning, I think.
Yeah. So with that, with thinking of the Hart and Ilya Sorokin, is it, when you think of the Hart, the idea behind it is what one player carried his team, right? That's why Taylor Hall won it in 2018 or 2019, I believe. That's why he won it, because he carried the Devils into the playoffs. And obviously playoffs matter here for some stupid reason, but it does. He was so much better than the next player, right? Like, he had like 40 points more than the next guy on his team. Well, Ilya Sorokin is that goddamn good compared to everyone else on the Islanders. We talked about it in the post-game show just yesterday. So, a shout out to our Patreon, so patreon.com/eyesonisles to get post-game content. We talked about how we don't even have like we have one 50-point player, maybe two, compared to the Florida Panthers, like 7. Ilya Sorokin, what he's able to do is like that 80-point player. We've got 7 shutouts. We've got a 2.27, I believe, goals against average, and a 920 save percentage. That's insane considering the team in front of him.
Yeah, it is. When you consider what's in front of him, it is. It's impressive. So I want to see him end on a high note so that his numbers, you know, at the end of the year look good. Because right now what you're looking at, 927, 232 goals against with 7 shutouts, that's awesome.
Wait, he's got a 232 goals against average?
Yes.
And a 927 save percentage.
Yeah, that's like legit. In most years, he's not going to win it this year, but in most years, that's top 3 Vezina finalists.
Dude, the only reason he's not getting Vezina love is because of the number of wins, which is effing stupid.
It's stupid.
It's so
dumb. Of course it is. Of course it's dumb, but that plays a role. It's because the other guys all have that he's going against have 35 plus wins, and he's at 25.
How many of those wins are because his team was garbage in front of him in the dying minutes. Like, even Barry Trotz said it the other day. Like, if this guy, if we don't collapse in front of him over the last couple of minutes, like maybe four times over the years, and I think they've done it more than that, this guy's a shoo-in for the Vezina. Yes. Yeah, because he's got another four wins on his record. That's stupid.
Well, he probably has another three shutouts on the year, because how
right,
many times
yes.
did they let in, you know, late goal, like stupid in the final, whatever, 4 minutes of a game. Not even, even less than that at times.
Yeah. Like, how many of those? And I can't remember the games off the top of my head, but I know they exist. But you're talking, like, let's say he takes 30 shots and he stops 29 of them, right? So you're going 29 over 30. That's a 966 save percentage. He's losing 0.4 points to his save percentage because his team was stupid. Like, come on. That's so dumb.
It is.
But that's just how it works.
Unfortunately, it is how it works. But it's, yeah, not the best. But Ilya Sorokin, gotta love the year that he's had and want to see him finish strong. Is there anything else in here that you really would like to look for and see? Maybe any milestones?
I don't know. Well, Brock Nelson, yeah, you queued me up right there. Nice softball pitch right down the middle. Brock Nelson hitting 40 goals, please. Oh, my God, please.
There's a chance he's going to have to get hot. He's got 34 with six games left, so he's going to have to get a little hot, but there's an outside chance he does it.
A Hattie against the Rangers helps a lot.
It does. Now, then you're looking at three with five to go. Okay, that makes it a little easier.
That's certainly asking a lot, though, right?
Sure.
Of Shesterkin and Net, I imagine. Although, I don't know why they don't play Georgiev, right? Like, Georgiev's got our number and has had our number for years now.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know if maybe he's hurt. I'm not following up on the Rangers because screw them, but maybe that's a thing. But I don't know if there's any other. I guess maybe Noah Dobson hitting 50 points. I'm just going to bring it up now.
That would take a minor miracle. He would need seven.
Yeah, well, we're talking points, right? Not goals.
Seven in six games. That he would have to get pretty hot.
I guess. Just, you're right. A point per game down the stretch. Anyone else? I don't think anyone else is on for a career year necessarily, but yeah, there's so many players at like 30 points is absolutely stupid.
Yeah, Anthony Beauvillier at 33 points really rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, and for good reason, man. Like, he's played most of the year, 73 games. Like, he's missed, what, one game? Where's Zach Parise? Yeah, he's missed three games. Zach Parise is my standard bearer because he hasn't missed a single freaking game. Which is ridiculous.
Insane. But, yeah, like, I don't know. That's why I wrote something earlier in the week, which the stands found and they did not like it, with the idea of trading Anthony. Not saying you'd give him away for nothing, but if you have an opportunity that presents itself where you can improve in either the top four or in your top six, I said it might be time to start exploring moving Anthony Beauvillier. And it was like, I don't know. Like, I said, tear down everything. Like, I don't know. I don't, why the vitriol? I don't get it, but it was a thing.
Our GM said exactly that. We're probably going to have to do some hockey trades.
Right. Who else are you trading? Maybe Semyon Varlamov outside or Scott Mayfield was the other one that I came up with. There are three possible players that they could do this with.
Yeah. So I don't know. Bo seems like the right choice out of the three. Like, obviously, Scotty, I've been saying they should probably trade him. Not that I don't want him here, but like, you got a $1.45 million contract. That's going to get a lot at the trade deadline. They didn't do it. That's fine. Cool. I don't mind having Scott Mayfield on the roster. But when you talk about hockey trades, yeah. Even then, like, I don't even consider Semyon Varlamov a hockey trade necessarily. Kind of, I get it, but like, I don't think you're going to extract as much from Varley as you would from like Bo would be number one and Mayfield too.
Yeah, that's true too, because you know what I didn't even think of with Semyon Varlamov? Usually in those deals where a goalie is moved, a goalie goes back the other way, but like, it doesn't have to be like a starter for a starter. It could be like a draft pick and like an AHL caliber goalie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll trade him to Edmonton, although he's going to say no. So like, let's just say in this hypothetical world, sure, we start trade him and get their AHL goalie back and something or other, second round pick or something. I don't know. To us, it's just a $5 million being offloaded that matters, really.
Right. But it's, yeah. So really, it's down to two, two guys in Scott Mayfield and Anthony Beauvillier. But yeah, that really jumps out to me, man. 73 games, 33 points, and just 12 goals.
It's really bad, man. It's just not good. I would like to see him go on a run in the last seven. And it's not that he's been bad. It's just the production isn't following his okay play. Like, I like his play away from the puck, but it's just not really working in his favor. Holy crap. I just did the plus minus for the, because I saw Bo at 11 and minus 11. I wanted to see where he ranked. And it's right near the bottom. Barzy's the worst at minus 13. Green and Bo's next at minus 11. And then you see Adam Pellick at plus 20, which is plus 12 next over the next guy.
Yeah, how about that? Zdeno Chara plus 8.
Yeah. We're kind of going back and forth here, but like the point that you started making was, milestones. And it really is Brock Nelson at 40 goals. I would love to see Brock Nelson hit 40. He's already having a career high. Let's get it as high as possible. As high as a 16-year-old on an off day playing Final Fantasy VII.
That's a very specific reference. Is that from your past life?
Not at all, Matt. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's amazing. Good times. It, playing that game high is amazing.
Amazing. I think that pretty much covers it for me. The Nelson getting to 40 would be sick. Dobson continuing his run. Sorokin was another big one. But, then it's time to reload, because that's what it really comes down to at the end of the day.
It really does. It's about the retool going forward, not the rebuild. The retool, please no one tell me about rebuilds. Oh, my God, I don't want to hear rebuilds. But it's going to be a retool. It's just how they go about doing so, right? Like, I don't think they're going to be wildly... I have a worry that they're not going to be able to bring in a free agent, like a top-tier free agent, just because they won't be available in the market. Not because they don't have the money, just no one's going to be out there.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. We'll see who's available, but that's all. It always looks like, oh, there's going to be a good free agent class, and then they all get signed in June, and then you're sitting there on July 1 going, huh?
Yeah.
This is a little tough.
Exactly. So we'll see where that goes. Another 2 weeks left on the season, 6 games to play, only one of them not against a playoff team, or only one of them against a non-playoff team, I should say. And that's really sad.
That is sad, but... Anyway, shall we transition and get to down on the farm? Because I think there's some prospect news we have to hit on.
Yes. First thing, though, I wanted to talk about the NHL entry draft lottery.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because they released the date. They said when that's going to take place, and it's on May 10th. And obviously, because we're not in the playoffs, that matters to us.
It does. I will be locked in and ready to go.
Yeah. So May 10th, I don't know if that, what day of the week that is. May 10th is a Tuesday. Awesome, NHL. Thank you very much for brightening up my Tuesday. Come on, man.
That seems... in the evening, I hope.
I hope. Well, we'll see. It's the NHL. It's go 2
Tuesday in the afternoon. On your lunch break, maybe check in.
Yeah, ridiculous. Either way, the Islanders have a 2.2% chance of winning the damn thing. Now, where they are in the standings isn't going to help them. So there are new rules for the draft that they started last year. Only the first 2 picks are available. You can only win the first or second overall. Islanders' chances of winning either one is 2.2 and I believe 2.4% rounded up. You can only move up to 10 spots max. So for a team like the Islanders, they cannot draft first if they end where they are now. I think they'll draft 13th. So they can move 10 spots max. They will draft highest 3rd overall, which is fine. We'll take it, obviously. Sure. But as it stands now, unless they start losing a bunch of games, which they're not going to lose them all, but they're going to lose a few. But can they lose more than the teams below them? So far, no.
Yeah, I think, as we explained many times on this show, the tanking for this team, you're not going to get yourself in a position where it's going to matter.
Yeah. So now it's to look at the picks that could be available to the Islanders. I've started doing it on my channel. And unfortunately started working from the number 1 down, which is really silly to me. Like, I shouldn't have gone like, oh, let's look at Shane Wright. The Islanders are never going to draft Shane Wright. That's just not going to happen. I'm at like number 4. So I'm taking a look at everyone in the top 15 to see what kind of player they are. But so far, I have no idea who they're going to pick. We'll see. But the fact that they just signed to a AHL contract, a Lambert... makes me kind of think hopeful that they're going to try to bring in Brad Lambert.
Maybe.
Maybe. Possible. I think he might follow the draft. He's not having a good time, or did not have a good time in Finland.
Okay. So who knows? Maybe just get, you know, rekindling that family bond could be good.
Mm-hmm. We've already got his uncle. Let's get both cousins in.
Let's do it. It's family affair.
Beauty. So then let's move to the guy, the man of the hour, as you mentioned. Aatu Aatu is in North America. He, like I said, the plan was to always come as soon as possible, and this was the soonest. I think it was exactly a week from when the season ended that he was here. So that was always the plan with him. He's practicing now with Bridgeport. Will he play? I don't know. I don't see why not. They're not a really good team, but I would definitely play Aatu Aatu. I mean, why the hell not?
Yeah, and they're fighting for a playoff spot. So how cool would it be if he's kind of there for the push, and then, you know, in a series, that'd be pretty nice to see.
Exactly. It's going to be weird because the Worcester Railers season is over. And the only reason I bring that up is because usually you would see if they're making room for someone, they'll send someone down to get him playing time. But with the Worcester Railers season over, that's not necessarily an option. So you won't see like Colin Adams sent down to the ECHL being like, that is a clear indication that Aatu Aatu is playing. And we don't know if he is or not, right? Like even Barry Trotz is going, we'll see if he gets into the lineup. Because this team has been playing all year. It'd be kind of suck for someone like Colin Adams to be like, get out of here. We got our second round pick from last year in. Go play somewhere else for now, bud. But if the talent is there, and I think it is, he's got to move aside.
I was going to say, you got to do it. For a guy like that, someone you took in the second round, but still, like, the expectations are sky high for him.
Yeah, like, he plays a North American game, man, and he has for a while. He was, even when he was here at training camp, that was the one thing that Barry Trotz said. He plays a North American game. He can control the ice down the middle. He's physical. He's got great hands, good puck skills. A really good shot. He's just got a little bit of everything. His skating could use some work, but basically everyone can, aside from Connor McDavid coming into the league. And his defensive game can maybe use a little bit of help. And maybe his attitude. Like, he needs to calm the F down when he's on the ice sometimes.
Gets a little too heated.
Yeah, that's why he took, like, that match penalty in the playoffs. Because he did something dumb on the ice, right? He gloated in front of the goalie and they called him for a match penalty after already picking up a match penalty. So they're like, you're ejected, get out.
Great. Well, early in Matt Barzal's career, that was a little bit of an issue, right? He would get a little too steamed, but he hasn't had a good year this year. But I feel like he's calmed down a little bit as he's gotten a little older.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Aatu Aatu is that he is coachable, right? Like, that is something that Ole Jokinen has said for a while now. Like months I'm talking about. He's got an interview from a month ago and like, I think just before the playoffs started and they asked him, like, they being Finnish commentators going like, who is a guy that you like coaching basically? And he's like, man, Aatu Aatu is great. Like, he is always willing to listen. He's always asking for advice. He's just looking to be a better pro, all the time, every time. And so that's a guy that I have a lot of time for. And it's working, man. It's really working.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes you really happy to hear that.
So, worst case scenario, there isn't. There really is no worst case scenario for him. He's here. Even if he doesn't play, this is a valuable time for him, right? You heard Barry Trotz talk about Ilya Sorokin the other day, saying like even when he came in the bubble and couldn't play, it was good having him around. And that's going to be important for someone like Aatu. Like, he's going to be able to experience living in Bridgeport because he's probably going to be there next year. Getting acquainted with his teammates, knowing where things are, how to get stuff done, and just driving around and being comfortable in his surroundings. That's so important, and he's going to benefit from that being here now.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I love it. Well, like, that was almost like Sorokin a couple years ago.
Exactly. Exactly, right? Like, he didn't play, but he got to adapt to the NHL life. Not just the NHL life in terms of playing NHL hockey, but everything else around it. He's going to be getting that education now, and we don't have to wait later. I've seen some people like, why bring him in now? Well, that's going to ruin things. No, this is only a good thing. It's an excellent thing, really.
Now, if he does, obviously the plan is he's here. So let's assume, well, Do you think Bridgeport makes the playoffs or no?
As it stands now, they're in the playoffs. They have two games remaining on the regular season. I believe they need to win at least one of those. I don't know what their magic number is. I think it might be three. Just win both games. Win both games and you're in. I think that's easier said than done because they're playing against like the better team in the division in Springfield, and they're playing against Hartford, which they've had a hard time against. That's the Rangers affiliate.
So I guess my point that I was trying to get to, just took the really long way to get to, was I don't think he's necessarily going to like get on a plane and go right back if their season ends, right? Like, you think he'd stick around here for a while?
He's staying here. There's no, the only reason he would go back to Finland is to train with the Finnish team, because they've got the World Junior Championships in August.
Right. So, okay. So then theoretically he could be here until before then, right before then?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere. He might go back to Finland. Well, sorry. I know he's going to go back in summer in Finland because that's what NHL players do. They go back home in summer. I know he's making plans with other players there, like some of his friends and such. Like, I'm going to be in this part of town, like, because they're going back home type of thing. So that's going to happen for sure. But outside of staying there for any like regular season games, no, he is coming back to play in Bridgeport next year and hopefully the Islanders. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I'd be pretty surprised with that, but definitely feel like he's someone you have to monitor, like, every step of the way next year. It's going to be the Atu Ratu watch all next year, I feel like.
Yeah, like, so he's coming over now, getting accustomed to this the organization, the franchise, and so on and so forth, and just life in North America in general. And then, like I said, he's got the World Junior Championships in August, and Finland should do pretty well. Like, I don't know if they're going to get gold necessarily, but their goal is to medal. They got the bronze medal last year, and they're a really good team. If he comes into camp with a medal, because that's the thing, that the tournament's going to end of August type of thing, maybe September. So camp isn't too far away. He's coming into camp maybe with a medal. That is a huge confidence boost on a guy that's going to be competing for a spot on a team, and he probably won't get it because he's young. But like, man, it's all about confidence. And if he gets a medal right before camp, look out. Oh my God, look out.
Yeah, you're right. I think that would just continue to build the confidence, which is obviously what you want to do when you're trying to develop this player along.
Exactly. The last two things I wanted to bring up for Down on the Farm is William Zofull breaking records left, right, and center. Well, I don't think there's any more records for him to break. He now owns the record, the single season franchise record, the St. John Sea Dogs franchise, that is, for goals and points. So he's at 52 goals and 109 points on the season. And that is a franchise record in both categories.
Love that.
Fifth round pick, baby. I see a lot of wet blankets being like, well, he's old. Okay, yeah, he turned 20 in January. He's still doing the thing. There's no one else, really. There's like one other player. It's Patrick Gay, who's at like 100 points, I believe, in the league. But, come on.
But Mitch, he's almost an overager.
It's still like he's still doing it. And like, we're not talking about some random player who would never projected to do anything at the QMJHL level. This is his sixth overall pick at the QMJHL level in his entry draft. From the minute he joined, they thought that he could do something in this league, and he did it. And it's not even just this year. Last year, he put up a pace of 49 goals and like, I think 89 points or something like that. Yeah, he's taking a step above, but he's a year older. Like, he's going to take a step above. That's how it works.
Where's he playing next year?
Well, that's the thing. He said he's looking forward to playing in Bridgeport. So he talked to Peter Schwartz. So shout out to Peter on that excellent interview he had with him. And he said, like, I'm looking forward to playing in Bridgeport next year. Maybe paraphrasing a little bit. He didn't say like he's got a contract in hand, basically. But he's basically intimating, like, I want to be in Bridgeport next year.
Okay. Because that was my question. I wasn't sure if they had something worked out yet. And it could have been me just forgetting. But I would like to see him. Is that unrealistic to say that he should be there next year? Or
no, that's very realistic. It would be a shock if he wasn't.
Okay, good. Him and Ratu. Put him on the same line.
Exactly. the last thing I wanted to bring up here, unless you have any other questions about any other prospects, is Logan Cockrell, who was the captain of BU and another Islanders prospect, Who, something's going on here. I've copy pasted the wrong link. He won a couple of awards for BU, and I'm only getting a link just to make sure I say them right. He won the Bennett McInnes Award and the Iron Terrier Award for BU. And those awards are the Bennett McInnes's typifying the BU spirit on and off the ice. So he has, like, it's basically like the Bobby Nystrom Award, right, for the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Iron Terrier, this one's kind of weird, is for character, strength, dedication, and discipline in the weight room and off ice training.
Okay.
So he works out real good, apparently.
I guess that's kind of like an effort award, I feel like.
I suppose. So the reason I bring that up is not only is he winning awards, but he's a captain and he's done at the college level. He's played his 5 years and obviously looking to go pro, and the Islanders hold his rights, but they haven't signed him yet. And I don't really know why.
They have till August on that, right?
That is correct. August 15th. So there's time. And I guess that's where you're going with this, right?
Yeah, I guess. But it does feel weird because, like, he checks all the boxes that I feel like Lou and Barry look for in the captain, the wards, the leadership, all that stuff. So, yeah.
That's where I'm going with this, too. It's kind of weird that they haven't yet, but all eyes on him. I imagine they will sign him because he checks all those boxes, but so far has not. But he's winning awards, so we'll see.
Yeah. Strange, but okay. There we go.
That was it for Down on the Farm. I didn't have anything else, unless you have any other questions about any other prospects.
No, we're good. I would say let's transition now and get into the quiz.
Let's do it. As we do every week, and won't be doing going forward, I suppose, maybe one more week of this. I have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. You've got 5 clues to guess who they are. It gets progressively easier as we go. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Clue number 1. I was born in Maine.
In Maine?
Correct.
Was Rick DiPietro Maine or Massachusetts?
I have no idea, but it's not him.
Okay. Sorry.
Good clue.
I was like, Northeast.
I'm the youngest player to commit to playing college hockey. So I committed to a team, and I was the youngest, not team, but college, but I was the youngest person to do so.
It's not Oliver Wahlstrom, is it?
It is Oliver Wahlstrom.
Oh!
Good job! Let's go. 13 years old, he committed to play for the University of Maine. Wow, good job. He also committed to play for Harvard, apparently. That was my clue number 3. He was committed to Harvard, I forgot that, before going to Boston College. Clue number 4, I was selected in the first round. Doi. And 5, I don't see the ice much these days.
I don't see. It was the Northeast thing. That's if you didn't start with the Maine, my head wouldn't have been in the Northeast. So
that I gave it away. Clue number 1. But that's why this game is fun, because you never know when you're going to get it.
Love it. Good stuff, dude.
Beauty. All right, let's do some social stuff.
Yeah. What do we got this week, Mitch?
Okay. So my first one here comes from, I'm just bringing it up, is Unmarketable at Webard, WEBBARD. Saying, I know it's unfair. It's an unfair comparison because Sorokin was 25 compared to like DP at 18, DiPietro that is. But has any Isles rookie goalie ever had that good of a season? Meaning this year?
No.
I really don't think so. Not a single one.
No, there's no way. It's just, yeah, it's unreal. The play that he's... It's just, I feel so confident in him. Like, his NHL sample size is still low, all things considered. This is really his first full year, because last year with the shortened season. But, yeah, man, he's been absolutely unbelievable. I feel like there was a ton of hype for years and years and years before he's come here, but he's lived up to it, which is hard to do.
Exactly, right? Like video game numbers. We did it on the Discord channel the other day. Someone brought it up going like, what are his numbers exactly? And they're absolutely stupid at the KHL level. I don't know if I can find them real quick, but it's like 170 goal against and like a 930. I think it's a 930 save percentage in the regular season and a 940 save percentage in the playoffs.
Wow.
Which is stupid. Like, that's stupid.
That's nuts. Oh my God.
So obviously he's not doing that per se, but it's pretty damn close.
No, but the point is he's been as good as advertised, which is what exactly what you want.
100%.
My first one comes from Isles on MSG, and it says, Johnny Boychuk is in the house. Johnny Boychuk speaks to Shannon Hogan about being at UBS for the first time and missing the boys. I don't know about you, but I was so happy to see Johnny Boychuk. Like, I just his presence just makes me very happy. He's a really good Islander. He was a really good
Islander. Like I say in French all the time, c'était bon pour le moral. Like, it just felt warm seeing him there.
Yeah.
And I didn't even hear, because usually when I intermission, I'm practicing, I'm doing some bass scales. But I turned it on just because I saw him there going like, oh, it's Johnny. Oh, my God. And it was just incredible to see. He looks great. It's good to see him around. Just love it. Shout out to Jen, because I'm sure she was having an excellent day because of that.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it was just good to see. Same with, I usually, during the intermissions, I'm doing some other stuff, and I had it muted, but I looked up, and I was like, oh, my God, it's Boychuk. It just made me so happy to see him up there.
It was so good. I want to see him more of him and hear more from him, because he's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. So, good stuff there. What else you got, Mitch?
My next one here comes from Believer, not just spelt like I pronounced it. Anyways, they did a mock-up for if NHL teams wore soccer teams.
Oh, okay.
And their jerseys for the New York Islanders look pretty sick. I really like it. I'm going to give you a link here so you can take a gander at it. I don't know if you can see that in the chat there we've got going on for our stream service.
Okay.
Yeah, the first two. I do not like the alternate. That's kind of standard when it comes to the Islanders.
Yeah.
But that home one looks pretty sick.
Yeah, it does. You know, I'm not really I'm not a soccer fan particularly, but I do like, I've always liked their uniforms. The short sleeve with like the logo and all the colors. The home and I like both the home and away. I don't know which really one. Nice. Do you have a preference between the
home? I prefer the home. I really like the orange and blue. That's kind of like the why I like the Islanders anyways. It's one of the things. The away one's fine, but the home one is beautiful.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to be on there with you. I like something about the blue with like the orange going across sideways. Just, I like it a lot.
So if you want to go check it out, it's at @BIELVR_. To check those out. He's got one for every team, it seems. Sorry, I don't know if that's a he, him. Sorry, I assumed your pronouns, but my bad. But they've got a bunch of jerseys there, and a lot of them look really good. Some of them don't, but that's just because I don't like the teams, so screw them. Like, the Boston ones are gross, but I think that's just because I don't like the Boston look. The colors, bam.
There you go. Love that. My last one comes from Will Cherucci, who says, rest in peace to two legends gone way too soon, in response to the tweet of the Islanders announcing Mike Bossy passing away. And this is such an amazing photo. If you haven't seen it, it's both the Gillies jersey and Bossy jersey hanging next to each other. In the background, you see the Coliseum, and the sun is like coming up over the Coliseum behind it. Stunning. Amazing, amazing picture.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think he also shared a picture of being, I don't know if it was the Heineken Terrace. There was other people taking pictures outside of the Heineken Terrace, obviously, on the day that they were honoring Mike Bossy, which was beautifully done, of course, by the Islanders. And there was a rainbow out there.
That was also awesome. I don't know if it was Will or not who shared it, but I did see that on the broadcast, and it's like, that was touching.
It was really cool to see him at the Coliseum, because like they've never played at the UBS. They spent their career playing at the Coliseum, so it was more fitting, and I appreciated that they did that. And this year sucked, man. Lost a lot of good people. Well, like we do every year. Every year there's a bunch of good people dying, and it sucks.
It does suck. It just feels like, I don't know, with everything going on this year, it really didn't go the way the Islanders were hoping on the ice, but then a ton of stuff off the ice, unfortunately, took center stage for this team too.
100%. It sucks. Moving on, I suppose. Last thing here for me, it's a tweet from Pucks and Ponies saying Matt Barzal could take notes on how Alexander Barkov plays the game. And basically saying like Matthew Barzal shouldn't go uncriticized. But the one that I really want to highlight here is my friend Ryan saying, ah, yes, Barzal should take notes on how to play a line with Jonathan Huberdeau. Because let's be honest, in a line with Barkov and Huberdeau, Matthew Barzal is Huberdeau.
Probably, yeah. Probably. There's no way to know, but my guess would be yes. I agree with you.
Like, I understand Pucks and Ponies saying, like, there's no excuse. We can't keep making excuses for Barzal. He's got to step it up type of thing. He only's got 14 goals on the year. But, like, we know Matthew Barzal is never going to be a 40-goal scorer. He's probably not even going to be a 30-goal scorer. 25-plus? Okay, fine. And he needs to step it up, no doubt. Pucks and Ponies, absolutely correct. The 14 that he's got is not enough. But he is not going to do it on his own. He needs someone like Barkov's got Huberdeau. Look at that. Just look at that pass in overtime.
Yeah, it was perfect.
That pass was... Barkov did nothing aside from tap it in once it got past Sorokin. The puck did all the work. Huberdeau did all of that. What Barkov did is kind of like move his stick over the puck to kind of free Sorokin, which is skill in and of itself, to know to do that, and then tapped it or bounced it, if you will, through him or around him at the end. Like, a lot of it has to go to Huberdeau, and that's the kind of play that Barzal brings to the table.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. So, I don't know. Fingers crossed that the Islanders are able to land someone either in free agency or via trade, because I really think, well, one, obviously they need somebody, but two, yeah. I think it takes Barzal's game back to, you know, the level that we know he can be.
100%. So I wanted to bring that up, not to criticize Pucks and Ponies, because I think they're onto something. Maybe not singling out Barkov as the source of inspiration, but saying that we can't keep making excuses for Barzal. Yes, but we need to do something. And that's probably what Pucks and Ponies is also saying. Like, you can't just score 14 goals. You need more from Barzal, but we need to give him a little bit more because he's not going to be able to do it on his own.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's somewhere in the middle on it, because I agree, like, with what Ryan responded. Like, yeah, obviously he needs more to play with for sure. I don't think anyone would argue that. But at the same time, I don't think it's fair to say, hey, even with the people you're working with, you got to give me more than 14.
Yeah, agreed. So that's why I wanted to bring it up.
All right, so before we go, let's make sure to get some plugs in here. Wherever you're listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating and review. That would really help us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. You could also check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles. $5 a month gets you post-game content. It gets you a mailbag show. It gets you a Discord channel and a whole lot of fun going on over there. You could also visit the website, eyesonisles.com. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, Eyes on Isles FS. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary, NY. Mitch is TLO Mitch. And Facebook, facebook.com/Eyes on Isles. Did I miss anything, Mitch? Did we hit it all?
That is all. We're currently building a playlist, thanks to Jake Silverman on the Discord here, a playlist for goal songs. Ooh. And walkout songs as well, apparently. So I'm looking forward to checking that out here. That's what happens on our Discord with all our patrons, so get up in there.
Love it. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.